This is the Cube Show on Demand. Listen live weekdays 6 to 10. Get loud.
I really don't understand your question. I don't know if I can't hear or you guys can't talk in the mic or whatever.
Get crazy.
You go find them, you throw your arms around them, you give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
Get nuts.
Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah, it's gone.
It's the Cube Show.
This is All Born Radio.
I'm a good person.
Man, y'all take it easy down there on the off, baby.
God want us to win the world championship.
You're doing it wrong. You're doing the wrong things.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Hey, legitimate question, though.
Okay.
I'm drunk right now.
Wow.
Another one!
I!
And now, Cole Kublick.
He is bad Auburn man.
Show, glad you're with us. It's gonna be a really nice Wednesday morning show for you today. A lot to get to, NBA talk, some college football, some NASCAR today. Playoffs continue to roll. Russ Westbrook is out. Got some Major League Baseball and college baseball blowouts for you today. Barrett Salee joins us at 6:40. He spoke with Tommy Tuberville yesterday, who will not run for governor of Alabama. Does he get that $100,000 loan back?
With interest, I would hope. With interest.
That he paid to himself?
Yeah, I would give myself interest.
Kevin McAlpin talks Braves at 7 a.m. It's bad news when you hear the Braves rained out and rescheduled on your birthday. I don't need more Braves baseball on my birthday.
Now you get double the dose.
Don't need it.
Now you get double the dose.
Don't need it.
You know you don't have to attend, right?
I won't.
Especially since it'll be September.
Yeah, it's football season. We got a lot of other things going on then. Booger McFarland talks NFL draft and some college football at 7:20 this morning. Laura Rutledge is always 8:20 from the SEC Network. Shannon Spake talks NASCAR and Dale Jr. at 8:40. Grant Lynch will be with us at 9 a.m. today. So a lot to get to. It's going to be a busy day.
Do we have any time to talk?
No. That's the way I try to schedule it. So hopefully you and I can just put this thing on cruise control. We're going autonomous pilot here today on Cube Show.
We're going auto mower.
Hoping the show can just handle itself. How was your evening last night, Arkansas?
It was good. I watched a little bit of basketball. You know, the games last night weren't that interesting for me. Except for the Houston-Oklahoma City game, only because you took it looking at the two MVP candidates last night. So I caught up on I think we're two episodes away from finishing season one of Bloodline.
Oh, it's about to get good then.
Oh, it's already getting good.
Well, it's going to get really good, though.
We got into the part where Danny says he calls the shots at the police station. So, yeah, there's some tension happening there. But... Watched Russell Westbrook lose last night. I'm going to ask you how your day was, but I do want to say that right after that, I'm going to ask you about Russell Westbrook. So first, how was your night?
It was good. It was good. Sort of laid back with the fam.
What's fam short for?
Family.
Sweet.
We took the dogs for a walk, went a little golf cart ride. Boy, Point Mallard, the campgrounds are flooded right now.
Really? Still?
There was
Does it flood easily, or does something happen?
It's the first time I've seen it. I don't know if it's because TVA and controlling the water or what, but it came into the campground, and there was a guy standing outside of his RV, which I'm sure he picked up from Madison RV Supercenter.
MadisonRV.com.
And he's standing right outside of his RV fishing in what used to be a stream, but had now flooded into basically the parking lot of the campground.
So just hoping the fish would just come to him?
I guess so.
Just take two steps outside of his front
somebody
door.
Somebody tweeted me back yesterday and says, do you have any luck? I was like, I didn't stick around long enough to see. But we like riding around through there sometimes. It's amazing what those, some of those people do. The setups they have. You got to come over there with me one day and go see that.
See, I love watching. I love going tailgating. Like, I don't I'll every now and then I'll walk through and just see if someone. And most people are kind of nice. They're like, hey, man, who are you a fan of? But whatever, doesn't matter. I just want a burger.
Shut up.
I'm just like, give me a burger.
Shut up and feed me.
But those things are ridiculous during football season. They same way on campers.
Mm-hmm. Man. My wife asked a question yesterday. She said, I honestly don't understand where some of this stuff goes. When these people pack up to leave, how do they do it? I was like, well, there's a ton of storage under those things. She's like, those people have a high top table and like a full gazebo and chairs and a golf cart.
It's where,
like,
are they putting all that?
That's a lot of stuff. So it's pretty elaborate, some of the setups that people have, and they stick around for a while.
I do feel like that if I had that kind of setup, I would have to watch like a professional load it and unload it like a dozen times and then record it a couple times. Just back, so how's this work again?
Yeah.
Where's it? Because it's one of those things, like, you know when like you'll get like a new toy, like sleeping bags are like this. When they come in like this bag.
Man, you can never get them back the way they're supposed to be.
But it looks so easy just to put it back in the bag. Just roll it up, put it in the bag.
I feel like if I was living the RV
never
life.
Again.
I would have to have those suction bags that they sell, like, on the TV.
Those vacuum bags.
Yeah, I'd have to have some of those.
Yeah, that's a lot of great storage you can get back.
The thing for me is, and there's some cool setups, and there's some beautiful RVs, and you and I have been to Madison RV Supercenter, so we know how nice living in one of those can be. And it's no joke. It's nicer than a lot of people's homes. The reoccurring theme for me is bugs. I would spend half of my earnings on citronella candles and off and nets. I don't know if I can handle the bugs, man.
Yeah, I mean, I just went last night to go check on a tree that we have in the backyard that's we've officially, it's RIP, it's dead.
When you say check on it, were you like administering CPR or did you give it a hug?
In the plant world, yeah, we were administering CPR.
Okay.
So our willow tree is officially dead. We were just walking through the yard and just bugs just come up through the grass.
Yeah, I can't.
You're like, hey, bros, what you guys doing?
It's too much.
Leave us alone. These guys are constantly around it. I'll tell you the interesting thing, though, about that guy is that I like his mindset. Because he's at a campground. He sees it starts to flood right in front of him. And he just says, you know what? I'll make lemonade.
Just true.
Reaches his hand inside, grabs a fishing pole, is like, see what we can make out of this.
I don't have to drive a couple hundred yards over to the Tennessee River to fish. I can do it right here.
It's right here, buddy.
It's in the parking lot.
Let's make lemonade, man. What are we doing? We're just going to leave here?
Did you not see the video of the kid trying to ride his bike through it that I tweeted out?
There's a kid trying to ride his bike through
it? Yeah, I'll have to show you.
How bad was the flooding then?
It was bad. It was pretty rough.
How far was the water going up the kid's? You know, like, how old's the kid? Like, 7 or 8?
He's
like
probably about 12, something like that. You'll see the kid right there. He's going to just kind of try to ride his bike.
Oh, yeah, he's like knee deep.
I mean, it's like only his handlebars are sticking up out of the water.
It's an old timey bicycle. I'm watching the still image at the end just to sort of see his bicycle. That's not like a, it's not like a Huffy.
Oh no, that's what we call a beach cruiser.
Oh, hey,
yeah, it's an old beach cruiser. The funny part was the kid tried it like 3 times.
Oh,
yeah. It's like, you're not going to make that.
And he never made it, huh?
No. Okay. He had to get out and walk each time.
What was he just trying to do? Just splash up water?
I think just seeing, could he get through? Because that's like, used to be a little creek, and now had flooded up. So he wanted to see, could he power through? And he couldn't.
You know what I miss doing? I miss being a kid, like, after a rainstorm, and, like, taking my bike and just driving through puddles. I enjoyed the snow.
Who's to say you can't do that now?
I mean, we don't have a bike. So
that's part of the problem.
I have to go buy a bike.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's if Midas RV sells bikes. I can ask them.
I don't think so, but we'll ask.
We'll ask Rod and Kim and all if they have an extra one they could sell me. Secondly, I don't know. I feel like that's sort of a simple pleasure that was of my youth.
No, I agree.
And once I've figured out HDTV and video games.
You want to know more of that.
And iPads and DVRs. I started Bloodline. Started to be able to say, you know what? I'm a little past that, but I remember loving to do that during the summer.
But you think about simple pleasures.
God,
it's like
so fun.
I see those people at these campgrounds, and it's like that's what it is. It's a simple pleasure, simple things in life. Like, could you be about that life? Something about being able to pick up and just go. Now, it's going to take you a day or two to pack everything and get it. But there's something to be able to say, hey, this guy two RVs down, I'm sick of him. Don't like him. Or it's too hot here. Or I don't like the people around here. Hook it up to the trailer. We're going to Monsanto. Or we're going to Oakbound State Park. Whatever. You can just pack it up and go.
I'd have to transition definitely if I wanted to consider going about that life full time. Because that is, I mean, not having an address, don't know where mail goes to. I mean, where am I supposed to get my Amazon packages? I'm not sure if they're worried about that.
Yeah, no, that's not part of the deal. Not part of it.
But I got vacation time coming up here in a couple of weeks or a few weeks. So, I mean, I could see myself going off for a week. I just don't know how much longer other than a week that I would, you know, be happy in an RV. You know what I mean? Like, I would need a transition. Like, I couldn't just go cold turkey from one to the other. Now, I know I could bring most of my amenities that I do actually like, which, you know, computers, you know, iPads.
You buy a wireless card instead of having Wi-Fi at home. There you got your iPad and your laptop, everything you need. You got your Netflix. If you have an Apple TV in your RV or your Roku, you can use your wireless card for that. All these people set up their DirecTV satellite there, so if you wanted that kind of TV, you got that.
There's not that much you really need in a house.
No.
Other than stability.
Yeah.
Other than, like,
junk that you've accumulated over 20, 30, 40 years.
And I really enjoy my helmet collection.
Your what?
My helmet collection. You know the one I brought into the studio? It's got Tanner High School, Huntsville, all of them.
But that's not in your house anymore.
No, but, like, that means I would basically retire from here. And would I keep doing radio? Like, would I just travel from town to town and just do radio?
It'd be the best if you do it like Abraham, just do it from your RV.
Yeah, but I would need someone like an Antonio to come in here and press the buttons to turn it on.
That's a good point.
Can you imagine both of us trying to connect?
No.
From afar and doing the show?
No, wouldn't work. Let's get to 10 After Tweets. Brought to you by First Family Mortgage. Go to 1FMC.com.
Bring me the tweets!
You can tweet in at Cube Show, best way to be a part of the show. Also, at Cole Kublik, at Arky Shea, at Ump Sports. Multiple ways to get in to the show this morning. In response to the tweet I sent out yesterday, Cynthia at CD Tide tweeted, "Wow, Tennessee River is high below flood stage here near Wheeler Dam. TVA is pulling water through the dam big time." Is that what that means?
It's pulling water through the dam. Is that like a pulling guard?
Maybe.
Like, could we look at the film on that and figure out the technique of the pulling the water, pulling the liquid?
Yeah, I don't know if that's exactly what's happening, but I don't know how that works. Ian Rappaport tweets, source, hashtag Ohio State cornerback Garen Connolly has decided not to be in Philadelphia for the 2017 NFL draft.
Well, hey.
He's probably not going to get drafted, so that's a good idea.
Well, here's the weird thing. If you're about to be charged with rape, hey, guess what? Probably good to just be a little QQ. That's short for quiet, quiet. Maybe not in the public eye. Hey, we'll talk about that story later. Man, there's so much. I don't know what's happened in the last couple of years, especially. We get a lot of this bubbling up stuff that really shouldn't happen this close to the draft. It called Jenny Creech tweets, "Guy behind me said, y'all have triple doubles. We have triple W's. Hashtag Rockets."
Wow. Well,
looks like the Rockets now have quad
feels
dubs.
Like a shot.
Russell Westbrook, by the way, great last night. 47 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists.
Yeah, one assist away from a triple-double again.
Averaged a triple-double for the playoffs.
And
lost. It's one series.
Did you hear this Marc Gasol story? For the win tweets, Gasol's game winner resulted in birth 12 hours later. Not him.
Oh, okay.
He had already been born.
I did not know that,
By the way, we didn't talk about that shot. How did he get that shot off? It's like he shot it from in front of his face because he was lunging right and had to go back left. I have no idea how they got that shot off.
It was weird.
But nonetheless, Brandon White at Brandon K. White 32 tweets, Marc Gasol legit put my wife into labor. What a night. He said, I wasn't kidding last night. LOL, she legit went into labor at the Forum. Knew it was possible. 12 hours later, Archer Ellis entered the world. So they were at the game, Brandon White and his wife. Game winner goes down. 12 hours later, they got a baby.
Chances your wife would go to a basketball game or a football game of really any consequence at 9 months pregnant?
Not 9 months.
That's basically what that is.
She canceled a trip to Atlanta this past weekend because of some contractions she had been having.
It was almost May, so you guys are
close to
about
seven.
A month out?
Yeah.
About a month and a half
seven
out?
Seven and a half, yeah. New York Daily News tweets, breaking! Yankees great Derek Jeter, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush reportedly win auction for Miami Marlins. How cool is it that a baseball team just up for auction? Humana, $2
billion. A little high. Gonna say
Humana, $1.8 billion.
You see what they sold for?
I saw his return, and I don't know if I have it saved or not, but...
I think it's $1.3
billion?
And yeah.
He bought it for like $138 million? $158 million?
Well, he first paid for the Expos, for a stake in the Expos, at $12 million. And then Major League Baseball sort of took over. Gave him, this is Jeffrey Lawyer, I should say. Gave him $120 million. I think it was $120 million. I think that's $120 million. And he still had a stake in the team. And then now selling for $1.3
billion. Decent return.
That's $12 million turned to $1.3 billion, calling 18 years.
Wow.
What kind of return on investment is that?
It's not even possible.
That's only something sports and Apple can do for you.
It's amazing.
Hey, Cole, I wanted to mention this exciting news from high school football. AL.com High School Sports tweets, Hewitt Trustful, defending state champs Maplesville 5, headlined the 2017 Champions Challenge. Yes, the Champions Challenge, which kicks off the season coming up in August, has its matchups. Play the Crampton Bowl in August. It will feature Maplesville and Fife, and Hewitt Trustful taking on Pell City.
That's cool.
Fife's just over there hanging out in Jackson County. He was trustful in the same region as Bob Jones, James Clemens.
Yeah. Jason Leathers at I4MSU tweets, okay, man, ? You don't need all that expletive to go camping. Missing the point, fellas. LOL. I was going more of the direction of these people live in these campgrounds. This is not a vacation. This is not a summer thing. They bout that life.
Yeah, this isn't...
They bout that RV life 365.
Yeah, this isn't camping for a weekend. Now, if it's that, then yeah, sure. I'm not going to need a... If I'm going to go camping, I feel like I want to have the experience. Because I've never been camping. I'm not going to bring a DirecTV satellite dish. I'm not going to bring a flat screen just to go camping. But... if I'm ready to go goodbye to the world, start to get off the grid a little bit, maybe do a little bit of fishing in the parking lot, then yeah, some considerations need to be made. That would be tough, man. To go full-time like that, and God bless those people. I really do kind of wish I could be that mindset to just say, nope, I'm leaving. We're good. Thanks for all this, firm ground. This terra firma that's hanging out here.
We're out of here.
I'm ready to see the road move.
You think about it, though. You could stay in North Alabama.
Yeah, you know.
You could park it like Ditto Landing, and then you could leave and go to Monsanto, Point Mallard, Wheeler State Park. You just roam around.
Say, Milo's. Oh,
we'll be here for 6 months. We're leaving. We're out. That's the life, man.
Is it the life?
No. Not for me.
Because where are you going to get your SEC Network time in?
I have a couple of tweets from Sanford Baseball. At Sanford Baseball, 11 hours ago tweets, Bulldogs win! Sanford registers 30 hits in a 31-1 road victory at Alabama A&M. Next up, Sanford hosts Alabama State on Wednesday at 6 p.m., trying to wrap up the Magic City Classic sweep. They didn't add that, I did. Sanford Baseball also tweets, Sanford's 31 run scored Tuesday ties the school record, which was set all the way back in 1913 when the Bulldogs topped Albertville 31-0.
Albertville? Like the Aggies?
30.
Like Marshall County's own?
Yeah. I think they shut baseball down after that.
At least they shut it down being a college.
31-1? 30 hits? Can I just say, Sammy Dunn?
Can I just say this? Bama Joe tweets Fife's in DeKalb. It's just in DeKalb County. Can I just tell you how funny I find it that schools like Alabama A&M, who are in the SWAC, and are historically black colleges, their baseball teams, let's just say, are a lighter pigment for the most part? Hmm. It's not historically black baseball teams, is what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
And maybe that's why Sanford beat them. It's because you tried to bring a bunch of honkies.
Jeez.
Although Sanford's got a bunch. I don't know. Then in that case, I don't know. You know, I'll tell you, that's the one thing that one of the things that bothers me most is that when I watch participation rates in sports, that black players aren't a huge fan of baseball, of playing baseball. And to me, and I know football and basketball are sexier, and I think that they're more popular. They are more popular. But think about if you could make it onto a baseball roster, and you're talking about a better chance of making it on a baseball roster than it is to make it on a basketball roster, but not as good as football, kind of technically, because there's 53 versus 25. But if you were to get a big contract, which is probably more likely in baseball, that stuff's guaranteed money, man.
I just think you have to get started at such a young age, though.
That's what I'm saying.
The leagues are not prevalent in those neighborhoods.
I know. I'm not saying that there's any volitional, you know, discrimination happening with this. I wish there was more more participation in those communities. I wish there was more baseball parks there. I wish there was more benefits there, because think about the guaranteed money, man. I'm telling you, when you have your baby boy, are you not going to want to steer them toward baseball if they like it? Be like, hey, if you want to, now you may not get a full scholarship, but you can get a little bit of money towards college. My SEC Network money will pay the rest of it. And then once you get that big time contract, you can pay daddy back.
Yeah, maybe. All right, we'll get to a break. Back with more Cube Show right after this. You're as cold as ice. It's not cold outside anymore. It's the reason you need to call Bucks Island. 1-800-I'M-READY, 1-800-I'M-READY. They've been in the boat business for a long time, since 1948. Crest Pontoon's been in business since 1957. How about a $1,000 rebate on all 2016 Crest Pontoons today? And that includes, yep, that Mercury motor with a 5-year warranty. There's over 200 boats in stock at Bucks Island in Southside, Alabama today. Call 1-800-I'M-READY, 1-800-I'M-READY, or check out bucksisland.com. Arky, let's get physical. Rajon Rondo, thumb injury, expecting to play tonight. Also, how about this? Josh Rutledge activated off the DL yesterday.
Yay!
We'll talk to his wife at 8:20, Laura Rutledge, on the show.
Huge fan of the show is he, and we are glad to have him back off the DL.
I think he's listened once, twice when she's been on the phone with us and also at SEC Media Day. So yeah. Happy to have him on board those two times.
He's going to...
big fan.
I think he's going to platoon at third, probably, with Pablo. So, for the Red Sox, that'll be neat to see when he comes back up.
So, yeah, cool stuff.
Cole, let me take you to Vatican City real quick, where you may... Okay. I don't know. But you know that technically Vatican City is its own little thing.
Oh, yeah,
but
no, I would love to go.
Also, very technically, it's within the country of Italy. That's right. And Rome is where you can find the latest Michigan football players, including Jim Harbaugh. And the reason I take you to Vatican City with him is because early this morning, or I guess it's technically afternoon.
Technically.
Jim Harbaugh got to meet the Pope.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah, I guess kind of. I mean, he is a hardcore Catholic, so I guess it's going to be big for him. Following a 2-hour general audience mass from the steps of St. Peter's Basilica, the Pope made his way through the throngs of people, according to the article by BCSN-TV, and started shaking hands and giving blessings before he finally came upon Coach Jim Harbaugh. Coach Jim Harbaugh showed respect, dressed in a suit and tie, and then handed the Pope a winged helmet and a pair of Jordans.
Yeah, it was Jordan 5s. I saw them, the same ones that Russillo said on the show he got. Pretty legit. I'm upset about it, if you can't tell.
Would there be any real reason to give the Pope a pair of Jordans?
Well, yeah, he balls.
Sure, just crossing over people, I understand. Jim Harbaugh said before the event, it's pretty exciting. It's getting more exciting by the minute. He gave the helmet to the Pope with the interlocking American and Italian flags, the number 266, because Pope Francis is the 266th Pope.
Now, listen, I was one of the few guys who's on board with this trip for Michigan because I think it's a life experience and something that most players on that team would never do otherwise, mm-hmm. For a lot of different reasons. But you still got to make it spring ball somehow. And what is this, day 3? I've seen them paintballing, kayaking, poping.
Throwing ball in the mall.
Mauling. I hadn't seen a practice yet from Michigan. Are they even going to pretend like they're practicing? Like, have a walkthrough somewhere.
Did they travel gear? Did they buy gear there? Can you get a football there?
To get a ball and go line up and run through formations. Like, something. Make me think you're at least pretending this is about football at all.
Because all it sounds like is a spring break trip.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is.
Which is fine, but you're lying when you say it's about football, if there's no football being played.
Speaking of lying, United's in trouble again, Arkishay.
What? These guys just can't catch a break.
A giant rabbit, which was poised to become the world's biggest. I don't know how you're poised to be. Have you reached a certain weight and you're not finished growing and they just are assuming you're going to grow more?
I think what they're trying to do is, you know, you got Guinness coming in, and they're like, all right, here we go, about to weigh him.
Didn't make it. Died on one of its transatlantic flights.
What?
The 3-foot, 10-month continental giant rabbit named Simon died while in the cargo section of a Boeing 767 traveling from London Heathrow to O'Hare Airport in Chicago.
Mm.
Simon's breeder, Annette Edwards from Worcestershire, said the rabbit was expected to grow to be the world's biggest after his father, Darius, grew to 4 feet, 4 inches. Oh, my God.
That's almost as tall as I am. It's a giant rabbit. Is that a rabbit anymore? That's a small bear, isn't it?
She said the buyer was a, quote, famous celebrity. Something was very strange has happened. I want to know what. I've sent rabbits all around the world, and nothing like this has happened before.
Hmm. Famous Chicago buyer wants a rabbit. I know who it is.
Kanye.
No.
Jimmy Butler.
Hugh Hefner, my man.
Oh, yeah, he ain't in Chicago anymore.
No, trust me.
For a rabbit? 4 feet, 4-inch rabbit? You realize if that thing ran over my kid in the yard, it might take her out?
Might.
This is a picture of the baby that passed away. And I know we're on radio and they can't see, but just to give you an idea.
The baby rabbit. That's
Holy
a giant rabbit.
Mother.
You should send that picture out. That's a giant rabbit. That rabbit should have been put down. Gladly it died in flight.
Bear Slee of the Smothered and Covered podcast joins us next. Welcome back, Barrett Salee, to the show, Smothered and Covered podcast, Sirius XM Radio. Good morning, Barrett. How are you?
Good, Cole. What's going on?
Did you know ahead of time yesterday Tommy Tuberville was going to be bowing out of the potential race for governor on the Sirius XM show with you and Jason Horowitz yesterday?
I did not, actually. That was booked as soon, shortly after the news broke. We called Tommy Tuberville and got him on within 15 minutes. It was a pretty quick process.
So it did come out a little bit before, because the first I saw from it seemed to be from you guys' show. So that was kind of a pretty cool get, and you guys were being replayed this morning. I had a chance to hear some of that as well. What role do you think Tommy Tuberville realistically could have in college football for the next few years? If let's say it's not a head coach, because I actually think that's more doubtful than probable, but what other role could he have in college football?
I think he wants to be an athletics director. I think he actually, in a perfect world, doesn't have a role because the role that he wants doesn't exist. I think that he wants some sort of commissioner-like role in terms of, you know, setting rules, figuring out the next steps for football. You know, not necessarily a, you know, rules commissioner, but somebody that shapes the future of the game. I think that's where he would fit in. I don't know how you actually, you know, sort of create a position in a sport that's so disjointed like college football is. So because of that, I would imagine athletics directors is probably a pretty good fit for him, depending on the landing spot. Or he can just sort of be a change agent and be a guy that does work in radio, work in TV, you know, states his opinion, knows that people aren't going to like his opinion all the time, and hopefully, you know, steers conversations in the direction that he wants to steer them in. I think he wants to help football, and any way he can do that, he's going to explore. But I would assume either athletics director or college football analyst that is more on the shaping the direction of the sport moving forward, you know, kind of build.
Barrett Slee of the Smothered and Covered podcast and Sirius XM Radio joining us now. Let's talk about some spring games from past weekend. Speaking of helping college football and what we've learned about some of these teams, Alabama takes the field. First chance to really see the offense under the direction of Brian Daboll. Were your thoughts just of what you saw from Alabama offensively on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think they accomplished everything that they wanted to accomplish. I think you wanted to see downfield passing, you wanted to see explosiveness, and you saw it. You know, I think that it was strange to see that from an Alabama spring game because usually they're as vanilla gets. But, you know, they have a stated goal. Everybody knows the goal. Everybody knows what Alabama needs to do offensively to sort of take the next step, and that is the downfield passing game. And you saw both quarterbacks, Tua and Jalen, do that, and I know folks have fallen in love with Tua. Jalen Hurts is a starting quarterback, and Jalen Hurts looked like he checked off every single box that he needs to check off in that spring game. So they look great. They look as great as you could possibly hope a team to look after a spring game. they covered that. So, you know, that will help Alabama and that offense deal with what I think will be a more offensively driven SEC this year. That'll help Jalen jump into the Heisman Trophy conversation where he should be one of the favorites. And that will help Alabama contend for that SEC West title for the fourth straight year.
Barrett Salee of the Smothered and Covered podcast with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Barrett Salee. So let's shift over. Well, stay in the West first. LSU under Matt Canada. Definitely a different look on offense. It will contain different pieces and be operated in a different way. Did you see enough from LSU to think that they can contend in the West this fall?
No, not yet. You know, the offense looked a little disjointed. I think it's the right offense, but I think it's taken some time to sort of install everything that they need to install when it comes to, you know, shifts, motions, flow, you know, not having people think about the play beforehand, just sort of react to the call and go do it. You know, so they need to work on that. Danny Etling, I don't think looked very good, and that's, you know, 4 of 11 in the spring game. He was 4 of 10 in another scrimmage this year. So, you know, that's not good. That makes me think that maybe, you know, the job is too big for Danny Etling. He can change. He might change. But, you know, he was blinded by the moment against Florida and Alabama last year. He did not look any different in the spring game. So, you know, that makes me think that, you know, I was of the belief it was Alabama, Auburn, LSU, and then a really big drop-off. I think the drop-off may be after Auburn instead of after LSU, because I think you look around the SEC, LSU, I think right now would take both of Alabama's quarterbacks. I think they'd take both of Auburn's quarterbacks. I think they'd take both of Georgia's quarterbacks. And I think they'd take both of Tennessee's quarterbacks. That's just where they are right now.
Barrett Salee with us. Let's move to the East. A couple big spring games over on that side of the SEC. Tennessee, I like the offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a lot else that I'm really excited about watching that team operate. What you had Tennessee winning the East last year. Is there any real excitement about that group this year for you?
Oh, man, I think the offensive line, like you said, like that's a huge positive that the offensive line does and will continue to still look good. You know, I think the quarterback play was good. I mean, Dormady was 10 to 10, so that's great. And, you know, I think they're pretty comfortable with where they are, at least in terms of developing both he and Jarek Warrantano. Defensive line, I think that's the biggest question. It's been the biggest question all offseason. It's been the one that they have to solve first more than anything else, and they haven't solved it yet. So, I think Tennessee is still definitely a work in progress, and they've got a lot of work to do. But, you know, having an offensive line that is solid is a nice foundation. Is it enough to win the East? I would say probably not, because you got to stop some people. And I think the talent hasn't been developed the way it needs to be developed along the defensive line in Tennessee. And I think also last year, all of those guys that were not named Derek Barnett had their jobs made a lot easier because of Derek Barnett. They don't have that this year. So, you know, Tennessee's got a lot of work to do. They still have potential, but it's going to take a lot to realize that potential.
I think, Barrett, the thing that scares me the most about Tennessee, and Arkie and I discussed this yesterday, you had Josh Dobbs, who was a magnificent human and an excellent leader at a position that you have to have leadership. Derek Barnett was more of a lead-by-example guy, but his example was pretty damn good. Corey Vereen was a high-motor, high-character, high-leadership guy. Some of the other guys that maybe were injured over the course of that year were the same way. Who fills that void? I mean, they had elite leadership last year and couldn't really get over the hump. And now they're potentially supposed to get over the hump this year without that? It's just seems like a little bit too much to ask for Butch Jones in that group.
It does. And on top of that, that leadership didn't work either because they struggled down the stretch last year. So, I'm 100% with you, whether that be, you know, Kirkland or Todd Kelly or some of these guys that are, you know, been around for a little while, stepping forward, John Kelly, you know, at running back. Jawan Jennings could be that leader, although he's got to, you know, kind of keep his act together off the field straight. But, you know, they've got players who have, you know, seen a lot of highs and a lot of lows. So theoretically, you would assume that creates good leaders. But, I mean, all those guys are gone. And they're going to have a season, the type of season that you're going to need people to withstand the emotional highs and lows, because there's going to be a lot of them. You're going to have a lot of pressure on these kids' shoulders. You're going to have a lot of pressure from the moment you walk out of the field at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Georgia Tech through the end of the season. They're going to have some of those guys shine through, because they don't have them right now.
You were pretty high on Georgia after their spring game. Are you very confident, based on what you saw, that that's the team to beat in the East?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I think the offensive line struggled a little bit, and that was a concern, obviously. But, you know, Kirby even said it was tee off time. It was a passing driven scrimmage. He put his offensive line in a terrible situation. And that was really the first time all spring that they struggled, which I think, you know, it's all about connecting dots in spring practice. You've heard buzz about the offensive line being great all spring. It wasn't in the spring game. I just don't connect that dot. I just say, okay, well, let's just see where it goes. The one thing that I was most impressed with was the weapons outside, because they don't have a number one, you know, Julio Jones type receiver, but they've got a receiver for any defense. I mean, whether it be Terry Godwin or Riley Ridley. Riley really didn't play. Terry Godwin barely played. Mecole Hardman is going to be a Dory Jackson for them. Jacob Eason has a connection with Javon Wims. Clearly, Isaac Mount is a mismatch. They're going to line Sonny Michel up outside. J.J. Holloman looked great. Tyler Simmons looked great. I mean, they've got a lot of really good wide receivers to work with. And so that is going to help quite a bit, because you know they can run the football. They're going to play, you know, pretty solid defense. If they can take the pressure off the running game with these wide receivers, and it looks like they can, that's going to be a really dangerous football.
Good stuff, Barrett. Always appreciate the time, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, Kiko.
Barrett Salee of the Smothered and Covered podcast, SiriusXM Radio as well.
I agree with Georgia. I mean,
a lot of good receivers, because I saw one, maybe two.
They have a lot of options. A lot of. I don't know if I would call them potential mismatches, but again, what Georgia has is a whole lot of youth and a whole lot of maybes. Could they grow into it?
I feel like every team we're talking Alabama, LSU, Georgia, every team's young.
There's a lot of young teams.
All young.